Father, we bless you, honor you, reverence you, lifting up one voice, declaring you are good. Your mercy endures forever. And Father God, you have thrilled us with salvation. We draw water with joy from the well of salvation. We're so glad to be saved, so glad to be filled with the precious Holy Ghost, so glad for our redemptive reality, so glad angels follow us around in and out of buildings. Angels do our bidding to and fro. Angels are working, causing money to flow and come unto us all of the good things of God. Father, if you've been so good, you've been better to us than we've been to ourselves. We really don't know how to say thank you. With every word that we have, with every expression that we have, we thank you, bless you, honor you. And so we come to tonight and we thank you for the power, the magnificence, the brilliance of your word. Your holy written word is endued, is just dripping with anointing, just dripping with power. Father God, thank you that your word accomplishes every task, every deed, every sermon, every mission that you send your word on. It accomplishes the purpose at hand. And so we agree with you tonight that your word shall meet every need of the hour. Your word shall accomplish the task. Your word shall complete the job. Whatever you have in mind for your people, your word shall get the job done. And then thank you for the good Holy Ghost. He's our helper tonight. Thank you. You didn't leave us like orphans, but you gave us an advocate. You gave us a standby. You gave us a counselor. You gave us a helper. Glory be to God. You gave us a helper. And thank you for the helper, the great helper tonight. And so these are your people. This is your pasture. So Father, feed your people from your pasture. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and the honor and the praise. Thank you for unction. Thank you for utterance. Thank you for touching the lives of people. Thank you for bringing people to yourself, drawing men and women to you. And thank you for blessing our pastors, all who are with them, that whole team. Keep them safe and use them mightily. We'll give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, what do you say? Why don't we thank Dan and Joe, the whole team, singers and band, and leading us into the presence of God. Don't you appreciate that? Well, you can have your seat. As you find your seat, turn to Acts chapter 13. We're going to start there, Acts chapter 13. Then we're going to go immediately to Jeremiah 29. We're starting Acts 13. Then we're going to be headed quick to Jeremiah 29, Acts 13, those first four verses. While you're turning to Acts 13, the year for me was 2001. It was about this time of year. And we had set aside a little extra time to pray. And how many know it's good to set aside a little extra time, especially at the beginning of the year? We need to set aside time throughout the year to pray and seek the Lord, but it's especially good to set aside time, I believe, early in the new year, set aside time to pray and seek the face of the Lord. It was 2001, it was January, we're seeking the face of the Lord, set aside some time to seek him. And after several days, and I know when I say fast, you have to be careful how you say stuff like that. I think just skipping one meal a day, something like that. And after several days there, then the Lord spoke to my heart in my living room, told me to get up out of my chair. I walked to a certain part of the room. And when I got there, the only way I can describe it, I felt spiritually, I'm right in front of a threshold. I'm right in front of a doorway. And I'm standing there, and the Lord told me this. He said, get ready to go into full-time ministry. I'm still working for FedEx then, January 2001, senior manager at FedEx. And the Lord told me, standing right there in my living room at that threshold, get ready now, get ready, get yourself ready to go into ministry full-time. And then told me to walk through that threshold. And I knew what I was doing spiritually. I was walking out into ministry. I was walking through that threshold into ministry. And of course, it was later, November of that year when those things came to fruition in my own life in ministry. And Pastor Mrs. Hagen asked me to come on staff then November 2001, and then came over on staff February 2002. And so that's the reason I'm here today. In Acts chapter 13, those first four verses. Now, there were at Antioch in the church that was there prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been bought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. And while they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, everybody say ministering to the Lord and fasting. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them." And then when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4, and so being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. They were ministering to the Lord there in Acts 13, and they created an atmosphere ministering to him, seeking him. Essentially, they were seeking the Lord. They were ministering to him. They were seeking him. And in that seeking of the Lord, they created an atmosphere, and out of that atmosphere, the Holy Ghost spoke and gave them direction for their lives and ministry. And matter of fact, right there in Acts 13, what we read, those first two verses that we read said they were all prophets and or teachers. But when you get to Acts 14:4, and then again Acts 14:14, Barnabas and Saul, who are called prophets and teachers in Acts 13:1-2, are called apostles in Acts 14:4 and 14:14. And so how did they get from being prophets and teachers to being apostles? Well, the Holy Ghost did that. I said those things happened as the Lord desired, but they were ministering to the Lord. They set an atmosphere where they were ministering, and through that atmosphere, the Holy Ghost spoke to them. And I tell you, when we build an atmosphere of faith in our own apartment, we build an atmosphere of faith right there at our own house, the Holy Ghost will speak to you. And he'll talk to you about things to come. And now look, we can't know everything. Wish that we could. Because a lot of times in this life, we see through a glass dimly, see through a glass darkly, 1 Corinthians 13. Wish we could know everything, just can't know everything. If we knew everything, we wouldn't have to walk by faith. And the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. I said amen. Amen. So we don't always know everything. But there are some things, like it says in the Gospel of John, look, the Holy Ghost, he will disclose to us things that are to come. And so a lot of times this time of year, it's good when we take extra time to just wait on the Lord and just get before the Lord and just begin to seek the Lord. Title of this sermon, "Tis the Season to Seek the Savior." Tis the season to seek the Savior. Now go with me to Jeremiah 29, Jeremiah chapter 29. And of course, no doubt you know this powerful these powerful verses of scripture, verse 11 through 14. I'm reading New American Standard, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 through 14, our key scripture tonight. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." Ooh, that's enough to make you jump and shout right there. God's got plans for you. I said, God talking to you individually. When your eyes read that on the pages of scripture, something ought to leap in your heart because God got plans for you. Amen. He's not talking about your neighbor. He's talking about you. Amen. He got good plans for you. I wish I had one amen in here. I said, God, your Lord, your Savior, he's got plans for you. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope." Now, I like that because the Lord says he knows. He knows all about the plan. You know what the problem is? We don't know the plan. He knows the plan, but we don't know the plan. And we've got to get along with him so that he can get his plan on the end. The plan is on the inside of us, but he's got to get that plan out of us, get that plan so we can see it, so we can recognize it. Because look, faith begins where the will of God is known. And so for us to exercise faith in his will, for us to obey him, we have to know his will. We have to know what he wants us to do. And there is then that general will, general plan, guidance, direction, that general plan God has for our lives. He has a general plan and purpose for our lives, general plan and purpose. He does. But the thing about it, what I'm talking about tonight is his specific leading and guiding, especially over these next 6 to 12 months is what I'm talking about tonight. We know God has an overarching plan for you and I. He does. But then he's got a specific leading in these next 6 to 12 months. And see, the real question is, are you going to get that plan? Because you see, without the plan of the Lord, we just drift. We're just drifting. Oh, but when a man or a woman gets his plan and gets the wind of the Holy Ghost behind that plan, we can walk out into our full destiny doing what God told us to do. God don't want you and I drifting. He wants us responding to him. And so Jeremiah prophesied, I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare, not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me. Listen now, verse 13, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Uh-oh. Preacher, you mean there's something I have to do? You mean there's something required on my part? I thought you're going to say the plan just going to fall off on me like a cherry falling off the tree. I just want the plan just to fall like an apple falling off the tree. Just fall on me. Now, wait a minute. You're going to have to do a little more than that. You're going to have to seek him with all sincerity. You're going to have to search for him, seek him. David said it this way over in Psalm 63. He said, oh God, you are my God. I will seek you earnestly. Amen. And so to seek the Lord, 'tis the season to seek the Savior. He said, you will seek me and find me when? When will I seek you, Lord? When will I find you? When you search for me with all of your heart. And I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will restore your fortunes. I said, that's a good scripture right there. I said, I wish I had one amen. And so the Lord says, look, there's a blessing when we seek him, when we seek the Lord and his plans. And God's got good plans. God doesn't have bad plans for you. Now, he's got good plans. Look over there at John 10, verse 9 and 10. John 10, verse 9 and 10. Hey, the plan of the Lord for you in these next 6 months, it is a good plan. It is a good plan. He just told us that it wasn't calamity. It wasn't a bad plan. It's a plan full of good things. John 10, we're going to tell you 9 and 10. John 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go out. And will go in and out and find pasture. He will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. I like that. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. And so we know that he's got good things in store for you these next 6 months. These next 6 to 12 months. God's got good things in store. It doesn't mean that times we won't face adversity, but he's already provided for victory over adversity. That's right. I said he's already looked ahead, seen adversity, and already given us the victory. Right. I wish I could get one amen there. You know, over in John chapter 6, you can go there if you want. John 6, at the beginning of the chapter, Jesus fed more than 10,000 people. And when the Bible says he was testing the disciples, he asked them, how are we going to feed this crowd? And the Bible said, they said, if we had 200 denarii, we couldn't feed a crowd this size. If we worked for more than 6 months, a denarius was one day of a common laborer's wage. They said if we had 200 denarii, we couldn't feed a crowd. There's no way to feed a crowd this size. And of course, you know, Jesus told the people, sit down. Sit down for what? Sit down and get ready to eat. Sit down and get ready to say the grace. And so then you know the story. He broke the bread and the fish, and they fed them all, and they were full. They ate to the fill. Nobody left there hungry. 10,000 people. But the Bible said they were seeking him. They were seeking. Now, after that miracle, when you read John chapter 6, after that miracle, Jesus told the disciples, get in a boat. They were on the Sea of Galilee. He said, head to the other side. And so they had miles of journey to row. He put them, and the crowd watched him. He walked back and disappeared into the wilderness. But they watched him specifically not get in the boat he put them in. He sent them away, and they saw him stay there. And there's miles of lake between where they're going and where he told them to leave from. So they know he's still there. But now the next morning, something strange happened, because the crowd, when they made their way to the other side of the lake, now you know what the Bible tells us in Acts 6, what happened is they started rowing. They got 3 or 4 miles out there rowing and ran into a huge windstorm. And the Bible said they were straining at the oars. And Jesus came walking on the water. And you remember the story that John 6 tells us. He got in the boat. Immediately they arrived at shore where they were going. Now the next morning, the crowd, they look, they're observing, they're seeking him. These people are seeking him. He fed 10,000 people. Now he's got their interest. They're seeking him. And so when they arrived, they saw only one boat. And they said in John 6, when you read it, they said, now there's only one boat. How did you get here? When did you get here, Jesus? But they failed to recognize that he's the God who can do the impossible. He's the God who can defy every statistic. He's the God who can defy natural facts and circumstances. He's given you the victory in every situation, every circumstance you face or will face. He's already given you the victory. I wish I had an amen in here. And so Jesus, he got there walking on the water. And when he got in the boat instantly was at land. And they still were miles away from land. He miraculously got there. And so then now the part that I'll take you to, you're in John 6, right? Now down around verse 26 is where we're going. At 26, now they're seeking him after all this. They're seeking him. He fed all those people. Now they're seeking him. Well, look what it said, John 6, we're in John 6, 26. Jesus answered them and said, truly I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, for on him the Father God has set his seal. So Jesus said, look, you're seeking me. I see you're seeking me. Look, he fed 10,000 people. There's a mob seeking him. They're all seeking him now. He's got every one of their attention. You can't feed 10,000 people with a few fish and loaves of bread and not get their attention. He had their attention. They're following it on foot. They're following. They're observing everything. There's only one boat. How did you get here? They're making observations about everything. He's got their attention all right. He said, oh, I see you're seeking me, but you're not seeking me for the right reason. He's saying, you're seeking me because I fed you. You're after another meal, another miracle meal. And he said, but I'm trying to get something spiritual across to you. I want you to seek me for spiritual purposes. He says the signs that I did, those spiritual signs, to prove that he was Messiah, to prove that he was God in the flesh, that prove that his claims to come to redeem mankind, to die for man's sins, all those miraculous signs proving who he was is what he wanted them to seek him for. So as we're talking about seeking him tonight, what we're saying is, listen, don't seek God's hand. My first point to you now, seek his face. Seek God's face. Turn with me to the book of Psalms. They were there. They were seeking his hand there. They wanted another breakfast miracle. And he said, you're seeking me for the wrong reason. Psalm 24 and verse 6. He said, you're seeking me over there in John. But you're going to Psalm 24, verse 6 now. When we leave there, we go on to Psalm 27, verse 8. When we leave there, we're going to Psalm 105, verse 3 and 4. So here, Psalm 24, verse 6, the Bible says, this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even as Jacob. Another word for Israel, Salah. Pause, calmly think about that. God said, this is the generation who seeks my face. There in John 6, they were seeking his hand. They wanted another food, do another miracle, feed us again. It was just all, sometimes people seek the Lord for what they can get from the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? And there are times when we have to seek him like that, but that's not the purpose of my message tonight. There is a sermon for that, but the purpose of the message tonight is to challenge you to seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the face of the Lord. Don't seek the Lord for what he can do for you. Seek him for what you can do to honor him and do for him and do for the kingdom of God. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen. Lost all my amens right there. He said, brother, we thought you were going to talk about seeking the Lord so we could get something good. Listen, God's already provided everything good we need. I said, I wish I had an amen. But there are times when we need to seek the Lord, not for any particular thing. When we need to set aside time and say, Lord, no, I don't want nothing right now. This is not what I came for. I came to seek you, to seek your will, to seek your plan. What do you have for me these next 6 months? What would you like for me to do? What's your pleasure? How can I please you in these next 6 to 12 months? How would you be pleased with my life? That's what I'm talking about. Somebody else said, well, my name is Jimmy. I'm going to seek him for all he'll give me. That's a different sermon, Jimmy. That's a different sermon. Come back another night. I'm talking about seeking the Lord, not for what he can do for, not for what he can do for you. What can you do for him? You lose all your amens when you talk like that. But right there in Psalm 24, verse 6, he said, this is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face. Look at 27:8, Psalm 27:8. We're talking about my first point. Seek his face is my first point. Psalm 27:8. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, O Lord, I shall seek. I said, I wish I had an amen there. David knew about seeking, not just the hand of the Lord, but seeking the face of the Lord. I'm here. Not what can you do for me? You're doing everything for me. What can I do for you? That's what they were doing in Acts 13. They were ministering to the Lord. They were seeking the Lord. They were saying, Lord, what's your pleasure? How can we serve you? How can we please you? And they created that atmosphere, and the Holy Ghost spoke and said, separate Paul and Barnabas for the work I have for them. And separated the others for the work he had for them in the church. God had something for everybody. Over in Psalm 105, if you will, Psalm 105. Verses 3 and 4. We're talking about my first point, seek his face. Seek his face. Psalm 105 now, verse 3 and 4. Seek his face. Verse 3, glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. And I tell you, anybody who seeks the Lord like this, what I'm talking about tonight, you'll be glad. He will make you glad. He will make you glad. When you put him, his purpose first, when you put his pleasure first, he will make you glad. Verse 4, seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face. How long? Continually. Seek his face continually. What's your first point? Seek his face. Don't just seek God for what he can do for you. Thank God for all the things, all the wonderful things. We ought to thank him. We ought to praise him. That's a different day. That's a different sermon. But there ought to be a time in our lives when we seek the Lord and we're not trying to get anything from him. When we are in pursuit of him. It's not what you can do for me. What can I do for you? Number one, seek his face. Number two, search his heart. Search your heart, not his heart. Search your heart. We all have to search our heart. Second point, search your heart. Search your heart. over in Psalm 139, if you will. Search your heart. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24. Psalm 139, then, and verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Oh, that's a powerful verse of scripture. Amen. That scripture will get you right. If you ain't right with God, you pray that, that'll get you right with the Lord. He said, search me, O God, know my heart. Try me, know my anxious thoughts. See if there be any hurtful way in me. See, because if there's a hurtful way or if there's something that you're not prepared for, see, in the next 6 months, 12 months, you might be presented with challenges. All of us might be presented with challenges and opportunity. The question is that the opportunity God wants you to take? And sometimes we face temptations, tests, trials. And the question is, do we have our eyes on Jesus? And are we ready to respond with his word? And in this new year, let me tell you, not only does God have a plan and it's a great plan, Satan has a plan. And it's an evil, horrible, death-filled, lying, stealing, killing kind of plan. And he can't make us take that plan. But we can sure forfeit what God has prepared for us. If we're not careful, we can forfeit the victory that God's already won. Christ has already won the victory. I said, we're not trying to get any victory in the body of Christ. Jesus already won that. Amen. Jesus already determined that. Outcome's already been determined. We ain't trying to get no victory. Hallelujah. But if we're not careful, we can sure forfeit it. Yes. Said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. Amen. And so God's got a good plan, but Satan, he's got an evil plan. And the thing is, just because we start out on God's plan, look, and we might start the year on God's plan, but the question is, do we finish the year on his plan? It's not just about where we start, it's about where we finish. We can start out walking with God, but the question is, do we allow ourselves to get blown off course, off track? And for some right here listening, these next 6 months will present challenges for some that if you're not careful, might blow you off course. So that you started well, you started good, you started well, and something blew you off course. And things don't have the power to just blow you and I off course. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen than that. We have to contribute to being blown off course. We have to give our consent. We have to forfeit our rights and privileges as believers to get blown off course. I said, I wish I had a bigger amen there. I could get through with this second point quicker. Where does time go? Search your heart. We're talking about my second point. Search your heart. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. Let's look at verse 12 and 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. 2 Chronicles chapter 12. This is my second point. What was your first point? Seek his face. What was your second point? Search your heart. What scripture are we going to? 2 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. Let's go to 13. Let's just read 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself in Jerusalem and reigned. Now Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. And his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. Now look at 14. This is where we're going. He did evil because he did not set his heart to seek the Lord. In other words, the Bible seems to suggest here that if he had taken the time to set his face to seek God, that he wouldn't have done evil. God elevated him to a position, and he seems to start out okay as the king of Israel, but he doesn't end up okay. He gets blown way off course. He gets blown onto an evil course. How did he didn't take time to seek the Lord. What's your second point? Search your heart. Search your heart. It's so important that we allow God to examine us. 1 Corinthians 11. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing, he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 30. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged. What was his word to the Corinthians about their communion debacle? His word was, examine yourself. See, God doesn't want to judge you and I. He doesn't want to judge anybody. God's not mad at anybody anymore. Thank God. Aren't you glad? The blood of Jesus completely satisfied the high demands of God's justice, and he's not mad anymore. But he's still holy. I said, I wish I got a bigger amen on that last point. I said, he's still a holy God. He's not mad, but he's still holy. And he still requires us to live a life in honor. We can't earn anything that the Lord Jesus has done, but we should live a life that's worthy, live a life in honor of what, I wish I had one amen in here, in honor of what he's done. And so he told the Corinthians, listen, examine your heart. Examine yourself. Examine your own heart. Judge yourself. Judge yourself. What's your second point? Search your heart. Where are we at? 1 Corinthians 11. Just read 28 and 30. What are we talking about? Judge yourself. As you seek the Lord, we ought to all take time and just judge ourselves. Said, I wish I had one amen in this place. God doesn't want to judge us. God doesn't want to judge you and I. He wants us to judge ourselves. And see, if there's something not right, then we can repent and get that right. If something not right, we can repent and get that straightened out. Because if we start out on the wrong course, if it's early 2017 and we ain't on the right course now, well, how are we going to end up on the right course unless we repent? That's insanity. If you're thinking you're going to start out on the wrong course, something's already wrong, and you know something's wrong in your heart, and you won't repent about it, and you think somehow without repenting you're going to get on the right course, that's insanity. The Bible said, if I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me of all. Yeah. Seek his face. Search your heart. So very important. Thirdly, let's get over to the third point. Listen, sever bad ties. Sever, cut, you understand? Cut, sever bad ties. Said sever bad ties. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33 says this: be not deceived, bad company corrupts good morals. And sometimes as we're seeking the Lord like that, how can I please you? Sometimes the Lord will identify a bad tie that you need to cut, that you need to sever. Wish I had one amen. You could be in a wrong dating relationship. You could be doing, listen, the Lord said, look, just sever bad ties. Seek his face, search your heart, sever bad ties. Because if not, something will come between you and the Lord. And when something comes between you and the Lord, it causes havoc in our Christian life. Now, Brother Achan tried that. You remember over in Joshua 6 and 7. First of all, in Joshua 6, where God gave the plan how they were going to conquer Jericho. You know, when we read in Jeremiah 29, God said, I know the plans I have for you. They're good plans. Listen, they specifically got the plan of God. Israel did. Spoke to Joshua. Those first four verses of Joshua chapter 6, God spoke to him and said, not only have I given you Jericho, his plan, he gave him the whole land, he gave him Canaan land, but he said, listen, you're going to start taking Jericho. Now, I got a plan for you over this next 6 months. This is how you're going to get Jericho. First, you're going to cross the Jordan River at flood stage, high tide, highest it's been all year, going to send you across the river. First, going to make your feet get in the water. When your feet get in the water, then I'll part it. You take the first step by faith, get in the water, and then I'll part it. Then when they went over there, then they're looking at the most fortified city that ever been built. They're looking at it in Jericho. And God gave them a plan. He said, get the ark of the Lord representing my presence. And you're going to take the ark and put it in front of the people.
In front of the ark, you're going to put the praisers and those blowing the horns and the trumpets of God. And then the people are going to follow the ark and the praisers and those blowing the trumpet, and you're going to circle the city one time and go back to camp. He said, you're going to do that 6 days. On the seventh day, you're going to go around seven times. And then they're going to praise me. You're going to praise me. They're going to blow the trumpets, and then you're going to shout with all of your might, and I'm going to knock those walls down myself. And God was showing Israel, the battle ain't yours. That battle ain't yours. The knocking down the walls of Jericho is not your responsibility. That's my job. God said, the battle's mine. That what you face, what you're going through, challenges you come against, that's not your challenge. That's the Lord's battle. If you let him handle it, if you trust him to handle it. And so he told him one thing. He said, listen, he said, everything that's taken here, so the gold and the silver will be used in my temple. Everything else is under what's called a ban. Nobody is to take a thing. Be sure you warn them, because it will hinder Israel. If they do this, this sin will hinder you from doing anything else that I have for you. The plans I have, the good plans, the good purposes will be hindered by sin if anybody doesn't listen. Tell Israel to listen. Don't touch a thing. Don't take a thing for you. Don't get a greedy desire. When you go into Jericho, when I knock those walls down and you see things, don't you touch it. Get your desire off of it. Everything's under the ban. God told him 2-3 times. And Joshua warned the people. Oh, but Brother Aiken, he was there that night at church. He was listening to the preacher. When they got across, those walls came tumbling down. Aiken went across there, and the Bible says he saw a Babylonian robe that he fell in love with. He said, I got to have this robe. You know I'm gonna look good in this robe. He found 200 silver coins and he grabbed that. He found the gold bar. Joshua, we're talking about Joshua chapter 7 now. He found a gold bar. He grabbed that, hid it under his tent, and came back out to praise the Lord. Hallelujah! Look what the Lord had done. Look what the Lord had done. And Joshua went out to fight the next battle and they got trounced. Israel got mopped up with the floor, and Joshua hit his face to the ground, crying to the Lord. And about verse 10, God told him, get up off of your face. And God told him, there's sin in the camp. Get up off your face. The reason you lost is somebody has disobeyed. I told you that would hinder all of Israel. I told you that would hinder my plan. That would hinder the good things I have. That would hinder the good plans. Get up off your face. Find the person who did it. And they called the person who did it, Joshua, and Achan wasn't saying nothing. Look what the Lord had done. He healed my body. He touched my mind. He saved me. I'm going to praise his name. I ain't saying nothing. Just the same. Achan wouldn't tell it. And you can hide things from man all day long. We can hide. There's many places to hide. I tell you one thing we can't hide. We can't hide from Father God. My mama used to say, he sits high and looks low. You can't hide nothing from Father God. And God said, I'll point it out. And he said, first of all, I'm gonna point it out by tribe. I'm going to give the tribe first. Give the person a chance to repent. Called the tribe. They called Achan's tribe. And all the thousands of people went for Achan. They said nothing. He said, I'm going to call him by clan next. Give the person a chance to repent. They called Achan's clan. He went through. He ain't saying nothing. Said, I'm going to call him by family next. Called him by family. Achan's family marched through. He ain't saying nothing. He said, I'm going to call the individual and said, Achan. And then he said, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And you know what happened after that? They stoned Achan. Everything associated with his family, animal, they stoned everything. The effect of sin. Let me tell you something. That ought to make you and I glad that Jesus was our sacrificial lamb. That ought to make us so good, because God is still a holy God, but he ain't mad no more, because the blood of Jesus satisfied the high demands of his justice. I wish I had one amen in here. The thing that happened, what separates us from Achan is the blood. Hey, it's the blood of Jesus. The blood has washed us and cleansed us. The blood has made us to stand totally righteous in his sight, in his eyes. The blood has wiped away the past. Hey, the blood has cleansed us. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You ought to be glad about the blood. Glory to God. I said the blood did that for you and I. I know our time is getting away from us. But the Lord's talking to you in here. He's got something good for you in these next 6 to 12 months. God has in mind to accomplish things in you, through you, for you. His goodness and mercy are going to hound you all year. Let me tell you something. He wants to bless you spiritually. He wants to bless you. He wants you to be so close to him. He wants you to see things happen spiritually that you've never seen before. He wants you to get to a whole new level in him, a whole new level. I don't care how good it's been. It's been good. You say it's been good. Me and the Lord, it's been good. God got a whole nother level for you. And the thing about it is, are we willing to follow him? Seek his face. Search your heart. And listen, my brother and sister, if you'll seek his face, if you'll search your heart, and let me tell you, God will reveal anything, any change that needs to be made. Sever wrong ties. God will reveal. But if we'll do that, oh man, he has in mind to bless you and I. Now let me tell you what I'm not talking about. If there's nothing there, nothing between you, you're serving the Lord, there's no sin between you and God, and you're serving the Lord, don't go looking for something that's not there. I'm not challenging you to look for some deep hidden sin that you don't know is there. Listen, if there's something there, the Holy Ghost will show you. You seeking him the way I'm telling you, he'll show you. He'll speak to you, he'll show you. And if there is something, then just get rid of it. Just go on and repent if there's something. If there's not, just keep praising the Lord. Move on your merry way and get ready, get excited for what the Lord is about to do for you in this new year. Don't be like Achan. For somebody right here tonight, God's talking to you. I didn't say enough. I said enough 20 minutes ago. The Lord's already talking to you. And you know you ain't living right. You know, you're saved, you're born again. You know you're not living right though. You know you're not living the way you should. And you know the Holy Ghost, he's sure enough talking to you. Now you can fake in front if you want. And you're going to impact not just this year, you're going to wind up messing up next year. Next year you'll be sitting saying, God, why am I here? And it'll take you back to 2017 when you failed to seek his face, when you failed to search your heart, when you failed to sever bad ties. So with every head bowed, the Holy Ghost is talking to somebody, and he wants to help you. He wants to bless you. Oh, he's your loving heavenly Father. And he loves us. He's not mad at us, thank God. He can't be around. He doesn't tolerate sin, praise God. He paid the price for us to have our complete redemptive realities. All right, so lift your hand. You say, I want prayer. God's talking to me. I don't want to start this year that way. Praise God. Praise God. Just lift your hand. I want you to pray for me, brother. I see you. But just lift a hand to the Lord. You're just being honest. It's you and God. I want to get it right now. I want my 2017. I want to get this right now. Just lift a hand to the Lord. It's him. Yeah, I see. Yeah, you're saying, God, I want to be honest. You already know. You already know about it. You already know. I accept your offer of forgiveness. I accept it. Oh, yeah. You might be here, maybe you never gave your life to Jesus yet. Maybe you've never given your life to Christ. If you were to die tonight, you don't know what would happen to you. Hey, I'm talking to you. God's talking to you. The Holy Spirit, what's tugging at your heart? That's the Holy Spirit of God. That's God, the Holy Spirit. Lift your hand. I want you to pray for me, preacher. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. Oh, yeah. If you are here, well, let's do it this way first. Listen, if you raise your hand on either of those two altar calls, I just want you to be bold. Just stand up on your feet. God's watching. God's ready to bless. God's opening up the windows of heaven. Yeah, I want you to stand up on your feet. I want you to boldly come down here. On either of those two altar calls, you say, I'm not living right. I want to make it right. I'm going to make it right tonight. I'm going to get right with you. Or you say, I've never given my life to Christ, and I'm going to do that tonight. I just want you to boldly get up on your feet in the name of Jesus, and I want you to just boldly, boldly make a move that you are going to be so glad you made. Come right on down here. Don't let people hold you back. Now, right about here is where somebody lets people hold them back. Don't let anybody hold you back. Just come on, be bold. That's right. Just come on, be bold. God loves you. God sees you. He loves you. Just come on, be bold. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. Hallelujah. Don't let people keep you from coming, responding to the Lord. You know the Lord's talking to you. You know, this is between you and God. And God's requiring something on your part. And as an act of faith, you know you've got to obey him. You know you've got to obey. There ain't no other way. You've got to take a step of, you got to obey him. And let me tell you, there's no condemning eyes here. We love you. We are your family. We love you. We are here for you. Let me tell you, we are supporting you. We all are in the same, we're fellows in the same ship together. And the Lord's trying to help you. He's trying to bless you. He's trying to get something to you. Oh, God's got something good. God's got something so good. God's got something so good. Now, if you're here in the audience and you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, I want you to come forward. You say, I want to be filled with the Holy Ghost. I'd like to get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues as the Holy Spirit gives me the utterance, just like it said in Acts 2, 1 through 4. If you're here and that applies to you, come on down here too. For those of you who are down here, I want you just to lift one hand to the Lord. This is between you and God. Let me tell you what's about to happen. God is going to bless you. God is going to strengthen you. God is going to forgive you. God is going to set you up for success. God is going to help you. He is going to lift you to another level. You are going to see things you never thought you would see. You're going to hear the Lord speak to you in ways you never thought he would speak to you through the pages of his word. You're going to see things in the word you've never seen before. Your life is going to be on fire. I want you to say this prayer out loud after me. Father, to you I come. I give you my heart. And Father, though I've given you my heart before, I want you to say that with me. I trust you tonight. I yield control of my life totally to you. I give myself totally to you. I sever all bad ties. And I trust you because of the blood of Jesus. To wash me, to cleanse me, to renew me, to strengthen me, to help me, to restore me, and to lift me up again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Oh, glory to God. Let me tell you. Oh, man. Praise God. Praise God. Let me tell you, life is not going to be the same. I can just tell it. Life is not going to be the same. Not going to be the same. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for blessing. I thank you for blessing my brother. Bless him. Strengthen him. Help him, Father God. My sisters, bless them, Father God. Strengthen them, Father. In every area of their life, help them. Provide what they need. Strengthen my brother, Father God. Provide what my sister needs. Oh, Father, may your hand of blessing strengthen my brother. Strengthen my buddy. Help him, Father. Oh, thank you for your mighty power, your mighty glory being revealed in your people. Hallelujah. And so, Father, we give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want you to go with Brother Tracy. He's our prayer room leader tonight. He's going to give you free materials. He's going to pray with you, answer questions, make sure you get everything you came for. You mark this day on your calendar because you're going to see changes and things that the Lord's doing in your life. You are going to see changes the Lord is doing in your life that you have never seen before. And you'll be able to look back and say, that day when I got things right with you, Lord, that day when I made things right, when I made it right, it turned things around. You watch it and mark your calendar. I want you to go with Tracy. He's going to answer any questions and lead you in prayer. There's prayer room workers back there who are ready to pray with you. Let's give our brothers and sisters a big hand. Don't you love them? Let's give them all a big hand. Stand on your feet. Point one hand toward them. Don't you love them? Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Father, we thank you for every honest hearts. These are those who are going to sail high and far in 2017. Oh, it's not going to be the same, because your purpose and plan is going to be revealed in and through them. Oh, and your plans for good are going to come upon them. And those around them will see them and proclaim, there is one whose hand the Lord is upon. There is one whose goodness the Lord is upon. And it'll be evident to them. It'll be evident to all who are around them that the hand and the goodness and the purpose and the plan of God has rested upon them. And we'll give you the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing something before we go. Come on, we ought to sing something. Hallelujah. God's been so good.
And I surrender.
Hallelujah.
All.
Yeah, come on. Come on. Make that pledge to Him. Hallelujah.
And I surrender.
Oh, yeah.
All.
Yes, yes, yes.
And all to thee,
hallelujah,
my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Glory to God. Come on, one more time. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and tell Him.
And
hallelujah.
I surrender all.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
And
oh, glory
I
to God.
Surrender.
Seek His face. Seek His face. Yeah. Search your heart. Yeah.
And
sever bad ties.
To thee,
all to
thee.
My
hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Oh, praise God.
All.
So, Father, we trust You now as we go. We look to You and thank You. You've been so good. We just honor You and bless You with all of our hearts. You're an awesome, awesome God. And we look forward to walking through, walking out this year, this thrilling new year with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and it was your first time here with us at Rhema, we want to thank you for coming. We count you as family. We count you just like family. We're so glad you came tonight. Can we give all our first-time guests a big hand? We want you to do something that's going to happen very quickly. Just go with our connection team members. Those are the folks who came to you in the aqua color shirts a moment ago before the service, and they gave you some information about the church. If you'll go with them right now, we're going to give you the gift that Pastor Marvin was talking about, the gift that we have for you on behalf of our senior pastors, Pastor and Mrs. Hagen, and on behalf of all of the church family here. We love you. We want to give you a good gift. Let's give them one more big hand. Aren't you glad they came? Praise God. Amen. You come back anytime, anytime. If you're watching online, we love you too. And we just want you to have a good week in Jesus. How many are excited for this new year? How many know God's got something good in store for you? He's got something good, something good, something good is in store for you. Praise God. So lift one hand to my, lift one hand. We're almost there. Lift one hand. Say, Father, thank You for the good things You have in store for me. Thank You, Father, for the awesome plans that You have ready for me. Thank You, Father, for Your provision in this new year. Thank You, Father, for Your protection in this new year. Thank You, Father, for Your overcoming power displayed through me in this new year. Thank You, Father, for Your healing virtue flowing through my body in this new year. Thank You for all of Your plans, for all of Your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen. And you are dismissed. God bless you. Be right here Wednesday night for Hour of Power. We love you.